It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Well, here we are, off and running for this third day of May 2022, a day which very much may live in infamy, to quote FDR. It's a rotten day, a lousy day, a brutal day, a cruel day, a sickening day. And that's just the beginning. Yeah. Hi, I'm Robin. And, stand by a minute. Bunch of stuff going on right now. Beyond the stuff that's going on. Let's see, we did the Hi, I'm Robin part. I have no idea what the chat room will be like this evening. But if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is the Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific. Well, pop right by and jump into the fray. You'll be greeted by early arrivers Anatole and New Jersey Nick and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky, and capably moderated by, well, me, or maybe not so capably, as the case may be. So I'm waiting to see if had to reload the chat room to make sure I was reading the participants correctly. But in the meantime, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So we send out thanks to our third day of the month subscribers. Thank you so very much for being part of the means by which we keep this program on the air. So thanks so much to Dave in San Diego and Lady B jumping in on the $1,600 fundraising goal. We've got $150 left of Bruce's Memorial Challenge, so now it's $120 left to go. Thank you to Bill in Allentown. Thank you to Mick. Thank you, John. Thank you, Gene and Ann across the pond. Thank you, Stephen, so very much. Thank you all for helping to keep this thing going. And I suppose in some ways, for all the carrying on that we do and all the fun that we have, some evenings are just hard. This is one of them. And what's going on here? Oh, there we go. Okay. I think I've got too many tabs open. Well, anyway, you know what I'm talking about. I know you know. It was shortly after I closed out the program yesterday evening that, well, to use the language that most Americans use, the shit hit the fan. And hit it, it did indeed. So now we know what we suspected all along, that these six jurisprudential maniacs from the Federalist Society having been presented with a case that was designed specifically to do what is happening here, that they are going to perform their judicial thuggery. But at least in this instance, we get a little mystery to try to solve. Come on, kids, let's get in the mystery machine. Scooby, you too. We'll let Velma lead on this one. There are actually a lot of voices that probably don't need to be heard right now. And I mean nationwide. But I want to start with Lady B. My God, she writes, I can't believe this day has finally come. And I really shouldn't be donating today. Using my credit card instead of my debit card isn't wise right now. I'm not telling you this to get sympathy. I'll be okay. I'm not going to starve or lose my house, but today is important. This moment is important. This moment is about our lives, Robin, our lives as women and as human beings. Amen. And you know what? Not about sympathy. You didn't have to kick in order for me to see your note. And if it's a problem, I can send it back. But Lady B says, it's not a lot, but hopefully it'll help because we need your voice. We need your show to continue because you don't give lip service to liberal causes and you don't try to constantly sell us stuff. You speak your truth and let us share ours. That's validation and us listeners need and appreciate it. Thank you. So this is nowhere close to the earnest, impassioned pleas John Britovo gives us to donate. But I hope it'll spur everyone to do what they can, especially today. Even if you've already donated $5 or $50, those that can, please do. This is about women's lives. Birth control is next. Robin's life is next, because the right despises women like her. Both transgender men and women are next. Same-sex marriage is next. Black and immigrant lives are next. It's not going to stop until psychotic conservative men and the delusional broken women who support them are in complete control. Oh, and Lord, those delusional broken women. Then they'll find out what it really means to be a conservative woman. I added that. This is about me, Robin, Darlene, Tracy, Jude, all the women who listen, all the wives and daughters of the male listeners. It's about you men and your sons, too. It will affect you. Your hand to God, I promise. This is taking away everyone's choice. You men will be affected, your sex lives will be affected, and if that isn't enough for you to pay fucking attention, then you deserve your fate. Robin, you're an amazing listener. You're compassionate, you're a parent, you actually care, you've always had the empathy of a woman. That means a lot, especially during these fraught times. Continue to do what you do. Help us make sense of this vicious and cruel move being enacted by rich people out of touch with reality. Help me understand why folks who don't want to help fund public schools, increase SNAP benefits, and expand Medicaid give a shit about whether or not a woman chooses to continue a pregnancy that may have been an accident, the result of rape or incest or an ectopic pregnancy, one that could result in beatings, being disowned by her parents, plunge her already struggling family further into poverty, or give her suicidal ideation. Oddly enough, I can touch on several of those. We women are human beings. We deserve bodily autonomy, and that includes access to abortion services and birth control. This will affect both sexes equally. We need to get our Democratic leaders to expand the Supreme Court. It's our only choice, and if they can't or refuse to, we need to get folks in who can. Prayers for all of us, but especially us women. None of us would exist without a man impregnating our mothers, but it was her who carried us, breastfed us, and made us into the people we are today. We matter. Women matter. We should be venerated, not merely tolerated. Whether you believe in God or not, say a prayer or take a moment to think about the fate of women in this country. If our choices don't matter, if we are a target for destruction, we might as well burn shit down. For those of you who have young daughters, call them, pray with them, then get out and fight for them. God help them. God help us all. And all God's children, Lady B, said, Amen. Well, here we go. Last night, the first thing that popped into my mind when I saw the alert come across was, it's on. And I noticed that Lady B made reference to something that I immediately thought. I've thought a lot in the last not quite 24 hours. I thought about my own family's history. I thought about realities that I know about from time long past. New Jersey Nick says the burn shit down thing is hanging right out there. I hesitate. I can't. I can't say half of the things that are in my mind right now. But if it is true, and I believe it to be, as Dr. King said, that a riot is the language of the unheard. Well, there are something north of 50%, maybe as high as 70% of Americans who are unheard right now, and probably the vast majority of them are women. This is going to be a tough 3 hours. I'm going to need help. I need women's voices in this. I need only women's voices in this. Women and people who can become pregnant. People who've been pregnant. People who may yet be pregnant. Because it is abundantly clear from what we learned last night and have been learning all day that women's voices certainly were not considered. This is a fetish object for these monsters. This is something for which they have been yearning for half a century. Some of you, I trust, by now have read the opinion, the leaked opinion. And I'm so fucking angry that I actually spent time trying to organize my thoughts for this program. And I find it falling all to pieces. I mean, some things I thought about, just to share. I thought about, you may think I'm nuts. But I thought about Frederick Douglass. Because in thinking about Frederick Douglass, who I was actually thinking about was John Brown. Bear with me, please. people no less than, I think, Ralph Waldo Emerson praised John Brown. Effusively for what he did in Harper's Ferry, Virginia. And it's worth remembering that the man who ordered the execution of John Brown, by the way, John Brown, on the way to the gallows, bent and kissed a little black child. It was not, I think, in the terms that we use in the modern era, it was not performative. It was his greeting to the future that he had opened the door to. And I'm not talking about the Civil War. But speaking of John Brown, Frederick Douglass said, John Brown's raid on Harper's Ferry was all his own. His zeal in the cause of freedom was infinitely superior to mine. Mine was a taper light. His was the burning sun. Mine was bounded by time. His stretched away to the silent shores of eternity. Frederick Douglass also said, the true question is, did John Brown draw his sword against slavery and thereby lose his life in vain? And to this I answer 10,000 times, no. No man fails or can fail who so grandly gives himself and all he has to a righteous cause. I thought about John Brown and Frederick Douglass because that was a pivot point in American history, and here we are again. But the pivot point that created the pivot point actually happened several years earlier and happened at the stroke of a pen by a man named Roger Taney, T-A-N-E-Y. Roger Taney was the nightmare, the human nightmare, who, of course, authored the majority opinion in the Dred Scott case. And that was so awful that Abraham Lincoln himself, upon becoming president, seriously considered having Roger Taney just simply slapped in irons and held without recourse to habeas corpus, because there is an exception in the Constitution. All of this came to mind because in reading the opinion, the sickening, sickening, gut-busting opinion of that goddamn monster, Sammy Bad Breath Alito, who has been yearning for this, jerking off under his goddamn robes for this, for most of his adult life, if not all of it. That sick bastard had the nerve in the opening paragraphs of his draft opinion circulated, and this is where the mystery comes in, circulated 2 months, 3 months ago, 2.5 months ago, in the fell dead darkness of February, he circulated this 90-some page opinion that was not enough to simply take away a woman's right to choose, but to announce loudly and proudly that they were coming for everything else too. They are. They are. And they will not be happy until they have torn it all down. Every goddamned millimeter of progress that has been made since the Dred Scott decision is what they're after. And how do I know this? Because, again, in the first page of the opinion, Sammy Bad Breath Alito, with one hand under his robe, and, well, I mean, let's not kid ourselves, he didn't write this. He told some Ivy League-educated little creep to write this. Some little awful shitbird who joined the Federalist Society while they were at Harvard Law, or Yale Law, or Stanford Law, or Dartmouth Law. Yeah, you're gonna get to take away a constitutional right from every woman in America. Give you a little stiffy, does it, son? And there, in the very first page of that filthy opinion, he says, for 135 years of this nation's history, the question of abortion was left to the several states to solve for themselves in their own state legislatures. And I kid you not, I read that and out loud I said, no fucking way. No fucking way. He did not put that in print. Because that's just a big old hanging curveball waiting for Sonia Sotomayor or Elena Kagan or Stephen Breyer to park in the cheap seats. Yeah, yeah, Sammy Bad Breath. And for those, and for 47 years, where have we heard that before? It was left to the several states to decide whether they were going to persist in holding human beings in chattel bondage, stealing their very lives, stealing their very labor, stealing their very children. Sold up the river is a phrase that comes to us from our filthy, bloody, unforgivable history of enslavement. But he did. He said that. He said it unironically. And so the mystery begins to unfold of how this thing came out. It is not, by any stretch of the imagination, the first time that a draft opinion has been leaked. It has happened before. It doesn't happen very often. But Lord Jesus on the cross, didn't we learn about what matters to old Balls and Strikes John Roberts? That aging white man is more concerned with the dignity and solemnity of the court than he is with a little girl who's been raped by Uncle Daddy giving birth. And he's going to have a thorough investigation to find out how the opinion got out here to us rubes so that we could find out just what filthy business they were up to. Now, I don't know if you wander around in the right-wing cesspools like I do from time to time. I joke from time to time that I do it so you don't have to. Well, suffice to say that the right-wing cesspools are all hopping up and down, flapping their little goddamn monkey bat wings, and having an absolute conniption, claiming that some liberal clerk of the court leaked this document. Or that some liberal justice leaked this document. Here's the interesting thing, though. Logic and common sense and a quick shave with Occam's razor tells us otherwise. Again, go back to the date that this thing was circulated. Whoever was going to leak this had this in their hand when it was circulated. So they waited a month from February 21st to March 21st. They waited another month from March 21st to April 21st. They waited another nearly 2 weeks. Why? You know, to get kind of Sherlock Holmesy about this, this is the case of what the dog didn't do in the night. If this was leaked by a liberal, by God, it probably would have been leaked on, like, February 22nd? Because it would have provided more time for people to organize. More time for people to become outraged. And the outrage in this country is through the freaking roof. And for good reason. But no, it seems that this was, for lack of better terms, the leak of this opinion is from some wild-eyed right-wing Federalist Society maniac, either on the court or part of the court's staff. This is, metaphorically, an end zone dance. This is a victory lap. Because it makes no sense otherwise. And so one of the things that is worth noting in all of this is that there's a dynamic that plays out behind the scenes in the court. The first draft gets circulated. You see, you know, you run it up the flagpole and see how many people Sieg Heil, I mean, salute. And what happened with this first draft is that the three illegitimate justices, you know, Ann's boy Neil, Justice Gorsuch, and of course, Brett Kavanaugh, and the handmaid, they signed on. And of course, Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas, who despises women, signed on too, giving them the five that they need. And I suspect that Sammy Bad Breath got the buy-in from the other four specifically because he made this case a harbinger of things to come, of the overturning of Obergefell, the overturning of Lawrence, the overturning of every case relating to the privacy rights of every marginalized community. There is shit in this goddamn this opinion that really does say that they want to repeal every decent thing that's happened after Dred Scott. This is terrifying. And what Lady B says is true. Everybody has a piece of this because this touches everybody. And that's not me, just me saying it. Other people are saying that, no, this is a roadmap. I mean, the way I thought about it is I haven't seen anything lay out an ideological path quite so plainly since the Powell memo. And so I'll just say this and get it out of my system. This makes me want some serious Greek stuff to go on. There is nothing, not one thing that could happen to any of those five or John Roberts that would bring me a micro millisecond, a scintilla Urus's grief. I mean Old Testament shit. Oedipus clawing his eyes out shit. People turning to pillars of salt shit. Moving forward in time, Charles the Bad shit. And of course it probably won't happen. Because these are people of wealth and privilege. And things like that don't touch them. Because they do have a pretty good legal system to protect them from being touched by things like that. They've got a goddamn 60-foot buffer zone around the court. Oh, by the way, and I don't mean to be working the Alex Jones side of the street, but do you remember last week? And anybody see any follow-up? Because I looked for it, and I haven't seen it. What happened to the person who set themselves ablaze in front of the Supreme Court last week? Were they just crazy? We'll probably never know. So, well, this draft opinion that they're going to have to own is to misogyny what Dred Scott was to white supremacy. A clear clarion call. Or anybody who cares to listen and pay attention. But make no mistake, they're coming for everyone. They want it all. Been saying that for 10 years. They want it all. I wonder what. I remember when Sammy Alito was confirmed to the court. I remember his wife showing up in a suit that looked like it was made from the upholstery of a 58 Edsel. And I remember how she cried and had to leave the room because people started talking about what a judicial horror Sammy Bad Breath was. Wonder how she feels about this. Well, she's a subservient, self-hating woman, so she'll probably keep those thoughts to herself, won't she? Of course. So, I think this is kind of a special evening, and I'm not going to reserve it to myself or my voice. So, let's run over and check in with Darlene on the stress line. Mm-hmm. You there?
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, hang on just 1 second, because I stood up for a second, and I just want to get in my wheelchair. Hold on.
You're good.
Okay. All right, hang on 1 second. Okay. I needed to stretch. Okay. So,
I can imagine.
Yeah. It's been a rough day on so many different levels. So you call it Titanic Tuesday, but I think there was, in fact, a movement of the tectonic plates politically and socially and culturally today. And I don't know, like you said, I don't know where to begin. I do find the rare leak suspicious. It could be, you know, trying to bookend it or, you know, do an end run, trying to get it out there so that by the time the actual opinion comes out, you know, the uproar has, they're banking on the uproar having died down. But hopefully that won't be the case, because this is seminal. This is just the beginning. And I'm sure you caught headlines that are like frightening beyond frightening about how Republicans are not stopping there, that should they regain the Senate and the House, or you know, should they regain the House and keep the Senate, they're going to do a federal ban on abortion, which, you know, is totally them, because, you know, goodness forbid if any federal money could have been utilized to help all women have access to abortion and that kind of health care. Goodness forbid. And of course, you know, Democrats were highly complicit in that, including Joe Biden. But oh no, they'll be very, very quick, very quick, to make sure there is a federal ban. And I don't know. I'm assuming that's going to affect blue states like mine. I mean, Gavin Newsom is already saying, "Fuck it, we're putting it in our constitution. We are codifying it." Democrats came out onto the front steps of the Capitol today. I did not see Kyrsten Sinema among that group. I did not see Joe Manchin among that group. I was very proud of my senator, Richard Blumenthal, who, for the first time, I mean, this dude actually looked pissed, forceful. That's the kind of Dick Blumenthal I want to see.
Yeah.
And, you know, he looked like a different person, because he's always been awesome and excellent when it comes to women's health care and women's rights, and, you know, and they're coming after everybody because, you know, I have no use for so-called allies or so-called supporters who preface their so-called support with comments like, "I'm against abortion, but I'm not going to tell anyone what to do." Really? Did you really have to preface it with that? Because that sounds like that's conditional. And you're still making it about you. You know, not you, but, you know, you, generally, whoever, you know, whoever that person is claiming. And if you're saying something like that to me, then I'm going to question just really how ardent you are, you know, a supporter of me or standing with me.
Well, you know, when I answered my questionnaire from Planned Parenthood, they asked me to, you know, they asked me for comments at the bottom, and I said, "Look, it's this simple. The right to abortion is constitutional. It is non-negotiable, and it is absolute. And anything else is unacceptable." And of course, it's weird. Amanda Marcotte over at Salon said, "Whatever we may think of Thomas, Alito is actually the biggest incel creeper of the court."
Oh, he's gross.
And he's, you know, I hope. And by the way, you mentioned Joe Manchin. I should point out, Darlene, as I have in the past, this guy, back before he got into the thin oxygen politically, he never missed a West Virginians for Life bean dinner.
Of course he didn't.
Because he's a good Roman Catholic, and he does what the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops tell him to do.
Right. And get your Catholicism out of my fucking face.
Well,
I'm a recovering Catholic. Sorry, hate to break it to everybody.
Well, the recovery seems to be going quite well.
Well, thank you. I've been listening to your program for almost 20 years. And, you know, and I have to say, you know, I have five gay men in my life. Only 1.5 that have gotten it right. two of them I have, well, three of them I have nixed from my life over this issue. And it's very rare because most people I talk to say, you know, most gay men are supportive of women and their right to an abortion. I'm like, not the ones I've met. And I have to get this off my chest because I'm pissed off. One of them is near and dear to me, is a relative, and came right out and said, hey, I'm a misogynist, darling. I'm gay. What do you expect? I'm a misogynist. I swear on my two dogs, one of whom I'm trying to save his life, because he's been really ill. It's been very, very stressful these last, like this last month. That's what he said. The only one that got it 100% right, I think, is a Gen Zer. Maybe he's a millennial. He's Gen Zer. And I said, I have a question for you. And, you know, I said, do you agree with a woman's right to choose? He goes, yes. I said, let me put it to you this way. Do you agree to a woman's right to an abortion? Yes, absolutely. He goes, I really don't have a say because I'm a guy. And I'm like, oh my God, thank you. Thank you. Because guess what? Guess what? The architect of the text, I saw headlines on this back when it happened with the Texas anti-abortion law. The architect of that law is coming after the homosexual, quote unquote, the homosexual lifestyle. He coming for all of you. And that's why I've said to them, even when I was arguing over the years with these, I said, look, we need to stand together. I said, it's the same hatred. It's the same need control. For me as a woman, having a right to make a decision about whether or not to get pregnant, or if I accidentally get pregnant, to decide whether or not to bring the zygote to term, it's all the hatred all coming from the same place because they're working their way up to you. You know, to gay men, they're working their way up. And it's interesting, and you know, to mixed marriages, marriage equality, they're working their way right up the chain. And, you know, because women are lower than low, you know, or people who can get pregnant are lower than low in this society, but in particular women, you know, and we've been the punching bag, you know, from the beginning. I mean, you know, we talk about, okay, the most people that have died on this planet, okay, you know, the Holocaust, you know, 6 million that we know of. And I read this when I was at university, so this was over 20 years ago. The greatest genocide worldwide has been women, mostly at the hands of religion. Okay, it was at 9 million over 20 years ago when I was studying this back at university. Okay, it was at 9 million. You know, we know it's grown only since then. When you see, you know, women getting whipped, beheaded, things like that. So, you know, they're coming after everybody, and Joe Biden. And it was unfortunate because I was watching this on C-SPAN. He was on the tarmac, you know, it's like the old chopper talks there with Trump. This time it was Air Force One was screaming in the background. It was gearing up to take him wherever. But you could barely hear him. But he brought up Griswold versus Connecticut. I don't know if you saw that, but he could barely hear him. But he said, you know, I discussed this with back when I think it was John Roberts was getting confirmed, I think it was John Roberts. And he said, and I brought this up that, you know, that how does this affect Griswold versus Connecticut? I was concerned about, you know, if you take down Roe v. Wade, what does this mean for Griswold? Hey, he saw this. I don't know how long has Roberts been on the court as CJ Roberts there? Probably, what, 20 years at least? He brought that up. He saw that coming back then. Of course, he still helped confirm fucking Clarence Thomas. You know, again, Joe has a tendency to pull the rug out from under you. when you least expect it. He's a good guy, but he's not aware that he tends to pull the rug out. So he brought that up. So they're coming. They're coming for all of us. And whether, you know, I mean, I've got nieces. This is going to affect, Lady B is right. It's going to affect everybody.
Yeah.
And it's just the beginning. If they put a federal ban, and, you know, Democrats are capitalizing on it, no question. They're right there saying, hey, you know, do you really want this? You know, vote. You know, is this going to turn the tide enough? Is this going to turn the tide enough to somehow get, you know, decisive wins for Democrats in both houses?
Well, that was the only irony I could find, Darlene, was that this came out the night before the Ohio primary. Now, that may be entirely, well, I mean, some of it's up to Politico. But,
oh, I don't trust Politico. But whatever.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
But they're the ones who got the draft opinion,
right? And Reuters also echoed it, but they're trying to confirm it, from what I heard. Reuters.
Well, I mean, John Roberts has already said, yeah, this is absolutely the real deal. Well, I'll confirm it, and then of course he got indignant.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's real. There's no question left. This is what they want. And it was released, and I think this is part of the compelling argument, Darlene, that it was released by a right-wing maniac in order to harden the case so that there's no wiggle room for the five who have signed on for it. They can't get out of it now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, maybe so. Yeah, I mean, well, I don't think they're going to, because, look, they believe, you know, you like you say, the most dangerous word in the English language is belief. They believe that this has divided the nation. If you look at the statistics, though, they range more than 50%, depending on the poll, to 60% to 72% of Americans agree that abortion should be legal. I don't see where there is, I don't see where it's like, you know, 51-49 or 50-50 or what have you. But that's what they're hanging their hat on. This is so divisive, and it's a moral issue with this, and this. Most Americans agree that it should remain legal. There, you know, really and truly, if you look at any topic, there's going to be division. There, you know, you might have a 70-30 breaker. You might have, it's just that loud, it's the squeaky wheel kind of thing. And you're right. This has everything to do. Look, we have a corrupt, the government's corrupt. You know, everything is, all the branches of government are corrupt. And the corruption of the Supreme Court is only heightened by the fact that there's just so much secrecy surrounding it. But when it comes right
down to it, Darlene, I laughed out.
When it comes right down to it, real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
They just want to keep us, pregnant, preoccupied, and poor. That benefits them. Pregnant, preoccupied, and poor, because all they have to do is just come under the veneer that, you know, they're saving lives. They're saving the unborn. They're saving human life. No, they're not. No, they're not. But that's what it is. The three P's. PPP. Pregnant, preoccupied, and poor. It keeps them as elite. Look, Democrats are part of the problem too. Okay, you got Nancy just a few days ago. You know, she gave finally. You know, she brought up FDR, but by the end of her goddamn news little conference there, she anchored it with quoting from Ronald Reagan and who was the other Republican idiot that she, George Bush, I think, you know? And as forcefully as the Democrats are coming out, standing on the steps there, and even Senator Blumenthal, you know, and Blumenthal basically said, why did you lie to us? He wants those three justices, but look, what are they going to do? He actually going to look into impeachment proceedings against these motherfuckers? How far can we expect the Democrats to take this? This is serious. I mean, everything's been serious, but this is, like, really serious. And, you know, can we count on them to actually hold impeachment hearings on this? I don't know. I'm not sanguine about that, quite frankly.
There is certainly video evidence of them blathering away about the value of Stare Decisis and precedent.
And super precedent, because they're making shit up as they go along. It's super precedent. And now it's like, and this, you know, just like, well, you can't go ahead and, you know, if you're a Democratic president, you can't, you know, even though you have a year left of your term, you know, you can't go ahead and, you know, appoint another Supreme Court justice unless, you know, you're a Republican and you got a month before, you know, your term is up. Fuckers. And they allowed that to, you know, they all got away with it. And they're focusing on the leak.
Well, right, and that's what I was about to mention a moment ago. The fact that, yeah. I laughed out loud. When I heard that John Roberts had said that he was worried about the integrity of the court had been violated. Well, that's like singing a paean to chastity in a bordello.
Yeah,
the Supreme Court cannot lose integrity that it does not have.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, but the question is figuring out when it left the dock. Did it leave the dock when they swore in Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Slappy Thomas when we got our first credibly accused sexual assaulter on the court? Or did it all finally disappear with Amy Covid Barrett? The things I've been thinking about today. Dante, for instance. You know, there needs to be a sub basement to the ninth circle of hell for Amy Covid Barrett. You know, in a just world, there are at present three women on the Supreme Court. In a just world, the men would all say, you know what? We're going to go play golf and drink scotch and smoke cigars. This is not for us to decide. And then let Sonia and Elena take Amy Covid Barrett to the fucking sorority initiation.
She's a horrid creature.
Yes, she's a monster.
She's horrid. She's horrid and just the.
And she's bad at her job, too.
Oh, she sucks at it. And, you know, and all before KBJ gets on there, you know.
And you know what?
Back to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you know.
Yeah, this decision was going to come out in late June or early July, and then of course they would hit the trail, get out of town quick.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, you know, and the integrity of the court is gone, you know, and again, I think somebody asked Joe Biden a question about something. Again, he's deferring, and well, we don't really know if this is. This is when he was on the tarmac or some bullshit like that. But again, we have Democrats that are not aggressively pushing the issue to the degree that we see. I mean, Republicans are going for broke. You know, they're saying, look, we're going to do a federal ban. You know, I hope Connecticut tries to codify it. I don't think it's codified in its constitution. I have to look at that.
Can I offer up a little bit of out of the box thinking?
Sure. Well, fine with me. Please.
I don't know quite how one would go about doing it constitutionally, but if Connecticut and New York and New Jersey and Massachusetts and California and Oregon and Washington, et cetera, all want to include the right to an abortion in their state constitutions, go for it. But you know what I'd like to see every one of the states do that does that? I would like to see them impose means testing for anyone coming from out of state for an abortion. Do you have any idea of where I'm going with this?
Well, it would reveal that they're coming from the states that, the only thing I can think of at this point is that they're coming from the states that suck off the public teat that we, as blue states, are basically carrying.
Well, that could be part of it, but that's not where I'm going. I mean that if you are coming from an anti-abortion state and you have an income, say, 200% of the poverty line. No, 100. Let's make it ironic. Let's make it 137% of the poverty line, just like the Medicaid expansion.
Okay.
Then if you're above that, you don't get to have one. And that means all the wealthy Republican white ladies have to turn around and go back home and have their lover's little bastard.
That I like, because, yeah, exactly. But you know what? They'll go to some other country and get it done.
Good. Let them go to the extra trouble.
They'll go to another nation. Make it tough for them. Yeah, you know, I like that idea. I really, truly do. Because we know that they'll have the money to do it.
Because the Republican women who will be going to Southern California for a little shopping trip on Rodeo Drive and just get their little problem taken care of, well, they're self-hating women to begin with. And they do not deserve the solicitude of actual women who care about women. Or of men who care about women. Because remember, there is a member of the Congress of the United States from Tennessee who admits that he, and he's pro-life. And he got found out for having paid for a couple of them.
Sure he did. I'm sure the former guy more likely did as well.
And I wonder how many self-hating Republican women in Stan states would think twice about ever having sex with their one man and one woe man spouses again. Don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, they want to be ugly about it. Be ugly back.
Well, I mean, the reason Democrats going to do that? They're going to be ugly back.
I'm just pipe dreaming.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, yeah. Well, I was laughing when you said you want to see some serious Greeks shit go down. Yeah. Well, you know, this is, like I said, tectonic plate shattering. This is a big deal. Because it's the beginning of the end. And now, you know, I know Connecticut wants to be able to be a harbor for people that need to come across the border and travel up and get an abortion here. But, you know, how do we help them? You know, do we do another Underground Railroad kind of thing? You know, what if the Republicans are able to take both houses. And you know, well, we have a president who will veto it for sure. But it's already been thrown out there to do a federal ban. I mean, think about what this means. Think about what this means for women. I mean, they set us back not 50 years, 100 years. They've set us back. They're going to set us back. I mean, it's like, holy shit.
Can I tell a little story?
Yeah.
My great-grandmother's name was Viola Luzetta Davis. Her maiden name was Choate. Mm. And in the only pictures I have of her, she looks like she's 100 years old when she's 40. She bore 13 children. When she and it came down in family lore, Darlene, that when she found out she was pregnant with her 13th child, she took off running up the hillside, up the mountain, because she was going to try to find some way to kill herself. They chased her down and dragged her back and forced her to carry that child to term.
And your grandfather, where's he in all of this?
Pardon?
Where's your grandfather in all of this?
My great-grandfather.
It takes two. I'm sorry, your great-grandfather in all of this. Yeah. It takes two, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, just, again, you know, men.
There's that old...
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah, there's that old Italian proverb that says, bed is the poor man's opera. And you'll notice it's the poor man's opera.
Yeah, and you know, and it's also something, you know, one of my family members married into a very heavy-duty Catholic family, and the mother of the spouse was very, very Catholic, very religious, had six kids. So, you know, I'm thinking probably no birth control there. And I can only imagine that, you know, at a point, you know, what if they still wanted to, you know, have fun, get it on? Is the Supreme Court going to say that women can't, you know, have their tubes tied or whatever? You know, because that's all we are now, is just, we're just baby-making whatever. We're just vessels. We're not anything more than that. We're just supposed to be, you know, pregnant, preoccupied, and poor. And our needs mean nothing. So, you know, any little fetus that they save, what's going to happen? What if that, you know, that'll grow up into a young adult woman? Maybe that person gets raped, pregnant from the rape, and now is being forced to carry her rapist child to term. Well, no. You know, that was a fetus once. The woman was a fetus once. You know, it's just, none of this shit makes sense. And they want women to die in childbirth, too. They don't care. Because, you know, what's gonna happen if it is a fetus? What happens if it's very clear that if they were to carry the zygote to term, it's going to be something that's going to be non-functional, brain dead, something like that. You know, or would have to be on life support, or would be so disabled that there is no quality of life. Who's going to help that family or that woman take care of something like that? I mean, look at the trouble that I've had. just try to be able to continue to contribute to my community as a disabled person. Look at the trouble I've had. You know, there's no, you know, there was one of the signs there that they came out full force. Of course, both sides came out there in front of the Supreme Court when this was released last night. The leak happened last night. Somebody said, you know, Supreme Court only cares, SCOTUS only cares about life until the baby is born. You know, they don't give, you know, it's the same thing with people in political power. They don't provide, you know, there might be a very different scenario. It might be where more people would be likely to carry a child to term if they knew they had the support, they had the financial help, they had, there was a system in place. A lot of it is, it can be boiled down to economics, and it's a viable concern, because look at the culture we live in, look at the situation, look at this brutal country that we live in. And it's just gonna become a lot more brutal. And, you know, like Hillary Clinton issued a statement, Nancy Pelosi, you know, or was it, maybe it was Patricia Murphy, studio on the steps there, hey, look, you know, she's a senator, but she said that, you know, this isn't going to stop abortion, this is only going to become more dangerous. It's going to become more dangerous for the woman. These people are sick. They're twisted, they're sick, they're vile, they're gruesome.
Yeah, they are, and I just, you know, I can't help but wonder. I wonder how many big-eared, buggy-eyed babies are going to be coming out of Mississippi and Louisiana and Alabama, and Tennessee and Arkansas and Kentucky, you know, because daddy couldn't stay off his little girl.
Oh, my God.
Well?
Oh, my God. Oh, John, this is so bad.
It's who they are.
And I have, you know, I have two nieces, and it is. And the sad thing is we don't have an equal and opposite responding force. And again, you know, they're outraged and everything else, but, you know, again, it's just, you know, vote for us, you know, get us back in for what? You know, come on. What are you going to do? You going to impeach those motherfuckers? Are you going to pack the court? You know, FDR tried to do it. He saw this coming. You know, like Lady B said, you know.
But he did it wrong.
Control life, whole choice, you know, well, whatever. But, you know, I see Joe Biden doing it wrong, too. You know,
but my God.
Committee there, the commissioner. Come on. I mean, they ruled out packing the court from the outset, Robin. They ruled it out. Okay? We didn't even get to the damn starting line with that fucking commission. Okay? Half-hearted, half-assed shit when you have people like Mitch McConnell. He goes for it all. He goes for broke. He won't stop there. He'll make up freaking laws. He'll violate the Constitution, and Democrats are just kind of sitting there flat-footed like You mentioned John Brown. His birthplace is literally is in Torrington, Connecticut. Next town over.
And I kind of hate myself for saying this, but I feel like we're reaching a John Brown moment. I mean, Jesus Christ, we sat idly by while Republicans slaughtered our doctors, bombed our clinics.
Yeah. Yeah, and there was complicity there with Supreme Court, too. I mean, sadly, even RBG. But to this day, you know, the house, the structure is gone. His birthplace is gone, the big colonial home. Before it burned to the ground. A black family lived in it, actually, before that. But the place is considered a historic spot. And to this day, the rock memorial, the memorial there, the stone memorial, is defaced to this day. And it's a very secluded area. I've driven by several times when I used to fucking be able to drive. Usually, somebody painted it, screwed around with it, whatever. And they have to constantly, clean it up and get the graffiti off. But I think it's indicative. It is what this country does, Even when a person is, like Tara Devlin says, on the right side of history, there are those that don't want that, As we see the rise of white supremacy worldwide, and we're seeing it here, and this is just the beginning. And when November comes, if it's a close call in either house, we're going to see 2020 on steroids.
They've done everything in their power to pre-rig it.
Yeah.
I got a note from Tom and Sunny San Rafael. I am so angry. Tom says, I like your means testing idea. I'll propose it to Governor Newsom and my state legislators. This morning, I typed out a transcript of your reading of Joy from Ann Arbor's email and printed out several copies. I left a few at the post office and pinned it to a few telephone poles. I think if we can spread the idea around, it may pry away a few small gummit pig lickings. I also pasted it into emails to my senators and representatives. I don't know if it'll make a difference, but at least it's something to try. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom, because, I'll tell you, you're lucky with Gavin Newsom, because he's got the moxie to do it. He's got the guts and, just like what he was saying concerning the Texas abortion law, well, fine, they want to do that. Now, he's got the guts to do it. Ned Lamont could. He could. I mean, he's a pretty decent governor. For Connecticut's governor. If they do a federal ban, I would assume that would affect all the states, right?
Well, yeah.
What happens to states' rights there? Because, that's what the Supreme Court is saying. See, this is triangulation, right? Well, biangulation at this point, right? Because it's sort of like, they're hanging their hats on, morality, the Supreme Court, morality, divisive, it's too divisive, and, stage right. Meanwhile, knowing all along that Republicans in power, Mitch McConnell, who gave them their marching orders, is saying, "You do this, we're going to codify it. We're going to make a federal ban."
Well, since Tom found some value in the idea of the means testing, I want to flesh something out real quick. I do not do this. I do not suggest this as a means to punish women. I do this so that perhaps they will understand that they don't have California wouldn't like, no. The reason you're going to Rodeo Drive for your little shopping trip and take care of your little problem, honey, is because the assholes back in Alabama said you can't do it there. And you went along with it because Christian right-wing Republican woman, you have to submit to your husband as Christ, as the church submits to Christ,
That's cool for them. That's cool for them. But don't tell me what to do. Look, I get nervous about the means testing because I get scared that certain women could fall through the cracks. I get nervous with that because as a single disabled woman in a very expensive state, oftentimes I make quote unquote too much. Not anymore, but that's what I had been told when I am like juggling multiple expenses by myself. And it may look like I'm making a lot on paper, but that money just goes flying out the window you know, I'm my own employer, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, well, let's try another method then. Let's set up some Hobby Lobby fun for them. Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Republican, you need your little problem taken care of. Well, this Women's Health Care Center has a deeply held religious conviction that fucking hypocrites don't get reproductive care. Go do it in the alley.
Yeah, I would like to see a situation. Look, if Connecticut would have to foot the bill, for example, for women coming over from Texas or, you know, Mississippi or Kentucky or wherever. Okay. I am all for helping those women, but I would like to see our state reimbursed through the tax system. If New York, you know, like Cuomo there, Mr. Cuomo, people are saying, look, you know, New York pays in more in taxes than it gets back.
By a long shot.
Whereas Kentucky, by a long shot, you know, the blue states are carrying their fucking state's asses meanwhile.
Carrying my ass.
Mitch McConnell, you know, making his $38 million a year, that kind of thing. Okay? Then I would like to see us reimbursed for that from those states. And in other words, you're going to take more than you're giving in, that you're contributing? Oh, no, not this time. What you would normally have gotten is going to be decreased to help the blue states help your citizens actualize and realize their rights to privacy, their rights to medical care, their, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, because it's not their fault. It's not those women's fault, you know, or people coming from those states. They're victims. They're cornered. There was one, I think it was in Mississippi, there was one healthcare abortion clinic or clinic that had to let 25 of their patients know that they can't get their abortions. What are those 25 people going to do? Those women, probably mostly women, but people going to do? What the hell are they going to do? Where is their safety net? There isn't one. There isn't one. This is bad. This is really bad. So wouldn't it be great if this was all a big joke? But it ain't. This is not a funny joke. What we woke up to this morning. 50 years. Didn't one of those assholes say Roe v. Wade was a super precedent, or wouldn't they? They would not go on the record saying that. Was it Kavanaugh?
Yeah, I think maybe he or the handmaid. And if I never speak her name again, it'll be too soon. She's just the handmaid.
She's disgusting, you know, and just that fake, solemn. Trying to be all justicey. You know, sorry, you ain't no Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and you do not deserve to be sitting in her chair. You are desecrating it. Full stop. You know? Full stop. And we still don't know. We don't know where C.J. Roberts stands on this. But it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So, you know. I guess that's the only power he has left is in that court, is, you know, trying to preserve the integrity of it, which, you know, that, like I said, the Titanic sailed a long time ago on Titanic Tuesday. The Titanic sailed on. We know what happened with the Titanic.
Oh, yeah.
But I know you had I know you had a special day today, I guess with early voting. I liked your photo.
Thank you.
It looks very I liked your hair pulled back. It looks very nice and natural. You were sitting in your vehicle, I guess, going to vote, early voting. I assume that, I hope the turnout was good in your favor. I assume that you won't know any results with the early voting,
I won't. And I mean, it's just, I mean, I was just encouraging people to get out and early vote because it was really inspiring to me. A dear friend of mine made a point of letting me know that she had gone and early voted and she voted for me. And if that's the only vote I get, that's the sweetest vote I could possibly have gotten.
And that's great. And
some of the shittiness has started. Some of my signs have been stolen.
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
That happens in Connecticut, everywhere. Yeah, they've been stolen. Okay, which sucks because you pay money for that. Yeah.
Oh, I paid money. $12 a sign.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
because I was trying to do the right thing with the money.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry that's what's so sad. You know, this is again. You know, I give you credit. This is a sick and twisted country. So you know, what else is new? You know, I assume you voted for the other guy. little joke. So I know that was kind of a bright spot in all of this.
Today is 1 week. This will all be over by a little bit more than by about 8 p.m. A week from now, this will all be over.
Oh, you mean you'll do the primary?
Yeah.
The primary will be, and then you'll know if you're going to the general.
Yeah.
Wow. And then when is the general? Is it in November?
Yes. Yeah.
Like everything else? Okay.
First Tuesday after the first Monday and, you know, that.
There you go.
Rich old white
guy counting?
Formula.
Who's counting?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's counting? Yeah.
I gotta say to my own credit, especially with the news as of last night that we're talking about now, of the people who are running, there's only one who has the authenticity to speak to the issue, and I'm her.
Right.
Because see, as I've mentioned before, you know, you get all this barking and grunting and growling and hooting and spewing about Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood saved my life. I'm not just an advocate for Planned Parenthood. I'm a patient.
Mm-hmm. Same here. When I was a young woman, absolutely. I had a very pushy boyfriend, and he wanted sex, 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 sex. Thank goodness. And I remember walking in. I remember walking into Planned Parenthood, and the people were so cool. There was no shame involved. It was matter of fact. It was amazing. And interestingly, one of my newest client, we do a thing that's a staff meeting, even though I'm not officially a staffer, but I've been joining in on these meetings. And they do what they call a icebreaker question that's not recorded. It's virtual meeting. So most of us are meeting virtually because at least they have a real concern about COVID, and they're doing the right thing. And I was late because my dog... he got caught, his little harness got caught in his donut. I'm trying to unhook him and run to get to the meeting, to the virtual meeting in my wheelchair. But it was something I think about, who was the most famous person you met? And the director of this particular agency talked about a whole bunch of political people she met, including, what's her name? Her mom was the famous governor of Texas. She was the leader of Planned Parenthood. Why is my...
Ann Richards?
Ann Richards, right? Was that the daughter or the mother? I can't remember now.
She was governor of Texas.
And her daughter, that led Planned Parenthood to the nation. What's her name?
Cecile.
Cecile Richards, okay? She said Cecile had the most security around her of any of the people that she met at that event. She had the most bodyguards, the most security around her, Cecile Richards, as the national leader of Planned Parenthood. Okay, what does that tell you? What does that tell you? More so than any of the other people that she met that day.
Yeah, it tells me that it tells me that the pro-life people are murderous, homicidal, maniac animals.
No, and Mr. Tiller, you know, Dr. Tiller.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, what they did to him. And at the hands, you know, at the voice of Babel O'Reilly.
Right.
He still got away with it. You know, and I'm sorry, but I still think that Sarah Palin was responsible for Gabby Giffords getting shot. Sorry, but I did.
Same.
So Cecile Richards, and it was ironic that this came up last week. This came up last Monday about Cecile Richards. And then guess what? Today, what comes out, you know? So, you know, it's just the synchronicities that happen in life, and they're rare, but I always write them down or make a note of them because I find synchronicities fascinating, and usually the ones I like the most are the good ones. This is not a good one. But, Seminole Day, I don't hold much hope that the Senate is going to pass what I think this would be the House bill that Nancy had set up a while back. I just find it concerning because now, you know, Joe Manchin's going to rear his ugly head.
Oh yeah, and maybe, see, this could be where it gets more dangerous than because I like to pride our community on having a healthy dose of political intelligence and a certain amount of pragmatism. And the fact of the matter is, if that bill passes the House and goes over to the Senate, then the cry for the end of the filibuster is going to be 1,000 times louder. And that just means Joe Manchin will yell no 1,000 times louder.
And I think that was the question they asked Joe Biden, where he hedged on it.
And then when Joe Manchin stops it again, because, of course, he is anti-woman and has shown it time and time again, then the not as savvy as the Horn Family Community Congregation Democrats will say, see, the Democrats won't do anything. And they'll take it out. By staying, you know, it's Achilles pouting in his tent while his Greek comrades are being slaughtered in the Iliad, okay?
Well, let's say that I don't know if they have the 60 votes. Let's say they don't go that route. They say let's not go there with the filibuster. Okay, we've learned our lessons. Let's not go there. Let's take the ammunition away from Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. Now, I think we could count on Murkowski on the Republican side. Maybe Susan Collins, because she's got egg all over her fucking face.
You think she's learned her lesson? Do you really think she's learned her lesson?
I wouldn't bet the house on it, no. But let's just give her the benefit of this. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. So that would put us. I don't think we're. Who else? What's his face there? Mitt Romney. I don't know. Where do the Mormons stand on abortion? Probably against it, right?
Oh my God! Yes.
Okay, so we can't count on him. So I don't think we have the 60 at all. What do you think? Is there somebody else I'm missing here on the Republican side?
No, but the whole point is, if you get rid of the filibuster, mm-hmm. you pass it with 50 plus Kamala.
I know that. But I'm saying to take the end, we know with Joe. We know what Joe and cheerleader skirt wearing bitch they're going to do, right? We know what they're. We know where they stand on the filibuster. So I was just trying to play a game.
I understand, but you know what? You bring that up, and the fact of the matter is, Darlene, in many ways, this is worse for Curtsy and Kirsty than it is for Manchin. I mean, she will be done. She will be done.
Yeah, but that only still only brings us to 49, right? We still don't have the 50.
If you can get Curtsy, then you can get Lisa. Uh-huh. Then you can get Lisa Murkowski and Susie.
Oh, I see. Yep, you're right. No, I'm just thinking Democrat only.
And,
you're right.
And there's a quote. She knew her shit was in the fire. Susan Collins issued a statement today saying, "If this leaked draft opinion is the final decision and this reporting is accurate, it would be completely inconsistent with what Justice Gorsuch and Justice Kavanaugh said in their hearings and in our meetings in my office." And I'm sorry, I should be ashamed of myself. There may be something wrong with her that makes her talk like that. But, yeah, I hate her goddamn guts, okay?
Same here, and, you know, again, she, what's her name? Lady G?
Oh, yeah.
And she listened to it. I find their reelection highly suspect. It was not Dominion. It was that SNS, whatever the fuck it was, voting machines. I find their re-elections highly speculative. Seems like they're shenanigans. And a good friend of mine that lived in Maine for many years said, "Don't kid yourself. The Collins campaign, they do dirt. They're dirty. They always do dirty shit to help her win." And there was something that came out about her campaign doing certain shenanigans that, quote unquote, Susan didn't know about, you know. But it sounds like, based on what I could interpret of what you just said in your Susan Collins, it's hilarious that I laugh every time you do it. She should be talking impeachment then, because if she's sitting there saying they lied to her, then impeachment, she should be right out there doing it. But we know that she's not going to do that. You know, this is just smoke and mirrors. They should be investigating it, you know, really, quite frankly.
Well, you know, Mainers need to be in front of her office saying, "Jesus Christ, you're a simpleton." She is. She's a simpleton. If she believed, if she really and for truly believed Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, well, I got a bridge over the New River Gorge. I want to sell her.
Right, and beautiful bridge, no doubt. You know. She's like, she really is the female version of Lady G. I mean, she's so, you know, Lady G, he's just the classic, stereotypical, sleazy politician, you know, and it's kind of sad because he could have been better. He could have been a much better person and a better politician. He could have been better, but he's just like, he's so classically sleazy. And just he's just an incredible political animal, you know. And Susan, I think, is just kind of the female version of him. She may have Parkinson's, you know, because of the way the head bobs back and forth and the shakiness. And that is progressive, although she looks like she's in some sort of stasis with it. But she just looks like a person that's in the early stages of Parkinson's. I am concerned about Blumenthal because sometimes he looks that way, and so and this really is heart-wrenching for me. So does Sheldon Whitehouse. They kind of have that very shaky, the head kind of moving back and forth, side to side. It's very subtle, but if you watch their movements, all three of those individuals look like they have some kind of a neurological syndrome or disorder, and I'm going to pin it on Parkinson's. And at least two of those individuals are two individuals we don't want to lose in the Senate. And we have Blumenthal is going to be challenged this year in Connecticut by someone that my own brother, who, you know, he's not that big into politics, but he'll notice certain things. And he'll say something about, you know, he'll say, who the hell is that? Ooh, blah, 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 blah. And this woman has reared her ugly head. She is a Republican who is in the in our state legislature, in the General Assembly, and tried to find. And of course, because of COVID, Ned Lamont had a lot of emergency powers. And then the Republicans started screaming. You know, they started crying foul after about a year, year and a half, or whatever. Ned Lamont did a fantastic job in helping us with in guiding us through COVID. And we had, you know, there were times when we had among the lowest infection rates. And he's sort of a regular down to earth kind of guy. This woman decided to leave the state legislature, quote unquote, going into retirement. So thank God we're done with her. But thank goodness we're done with her. Well, now she's reared her ugly head, and now she wanted to run for governor. But and I'm like, oh God, no, please, no, not her running for governor against Ned Lamont. But then the other dude, Bob something or another, who lost to Ned Lamont 4 years ago, or going on 4 years ago, he stepped in and said he wants to run again. She bowed out, and then she set her sights on Blumenthal as on a Senate seat. You want to know what this woman's name is?
Do tell.
You ready?
Yeah.
Her name is, here we go, horn listeners. Her name is Themis Claridis.
You want to spell that?
Themis. Claritas. Well, it sounds like a drug. It sounds like, you know, like an antihistamine or something. You know, you can take Themis Claritas. Just check with your
doctor. Ask your physician if Themis Claritas is right for you.
That's her name. And she is a on wheels. And, you know, and she announced she's going to run against Blumenthal. Richard Blumenthal was like, hey, look, I'm here. I'm not going to be running a campaign at this point in time. I'm doing my job. I'm working with the people of the state of Connecticut and the Senate. That is what I'm going to focus on right now. You know, so this horrid creature, that horrid creature, Themis Claridis, is going to try to run against it. So, you know, we've got crazy people like her nipping at our heels, too. Yeah, Themis Claridis.
Oh, God.
So, you know, and we can't afford to lose somebody like Richard Blumenthal, although, like I said, today I saw him less genteel, and I was quite impressed. I mean, he was animated. He, you know, he gets worked up about women's rights and people who can get pregnant's rights. But women's rights challenge, he's really, really good. He's good. And I don't want to see him. He may not be threatened by her at all. But, you know, with the shenanigans that Republicans are playing and engaging in nationwide, who the hell matters? But, you know, they're coming for y'all. They're coming for y'all.
Well, yeah, and Lady B echoed that as well. She said just a few minutes ago. She said, for now, Colorado is a safe haven. Jared Polis is a gay male who is married to his partner and just publicly reaffirmed legislation he previously signed into law to preserve women's rights to abortion. But he can't be governor forever. Again, Colorado is safe for now, but not all of my 7 adult nieces live in Colorado. And many doctors refuse to let women under 35 get their tubes tied. This has happened to 2 of my nieces so far. They have all the kids they have, and they have all the kids they and their spouses want. Still, they have no say. I'm telling the men in this audience, Lady B says, this shit will affect you too. Welcome to America. Now you know what it's like for those of us who are not white, straight, or cisgender. You're next.
Thank you, Lady B. Said it succinctly and beautifully, as she always does. Absolutely. You know, I mean, look, I have a relative to marriage. I have a relative whose mother, okay, whose mother had to have her quote unquote tubes tied at age 60. Because the doctors were like, holy shit, you can still get pregnant. Her tubes tied at age 60. And I'm telling you, full-blooded Greek women, holy crap, they are fertile beings. Let me tell you, they are fertile. Okay? They could pop out the kids like you would not believe. I'm not going to go into much detail. And again, I know we say persons now, but I'm talking about my family members. Okay. When one of my relatives was on birth control, she got pregnant. 4th kid on birth control. It fucking happens. She's in that 20%
antibiotics can cause birth control pills to fail.
You know? There you go. And I could see it in her face. I could see it in, okay. And here's the beauty of this situation. Okay? I could see it in her face. She did not want this. She did not want to have to go through a fourth pregnancy. She and her husband decided it's meant to be. Obviously, we had, you know, this. I got pregnant for this reason. We're going to have this child. He is now a happy high school kid. I love him dearly. He's got a girlfriend that he's thrilled with. He's a wonderful, wonderful addition to our lives. I couldn't imagine life without him. And I am highly, highly supportive of a woman's right to an abortion. I would have been supportive of this family member's decision to abort. They had the choice. They made the decision. They consulted with the doctors because she was older, much older, and they said, well, it's meant to be, we're going to do this. And that's the decision that they made. And I'm grateful they made that decision. And I would have been grateful if they had made the other decision, because that's their choice. That's their decision.
Precisely.
You're taking that away. You're taking that away. And you have, you know, no one knows anyone's specific situation. Everything is so complex and so nuanced. You know, I could talk for 10 hours with you about my circumstances with a wheelchair and dealing with the state, blah, 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 blah. And I did talk to an attorney who claims I don't have any legal recourse. Okay. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, this can't be the case. You know, and it's like, it's so complex that you have to trust the woman. And men are trusted, no matter what, just because they're male, white, and have a dingle dangle. They're never questioned, even though they make the stupidest fucking decisions. You know, look at our planet, look at our world, okay?
Yeah.
But when it comes to a woman making that decision, oh no, they're using abortion as birth control tool. Now, this is inequality at its gory,
most absolutely toxic.
Yes.
Well, I see even I want to get more traction for the understanding that taking away a woman's right to choose is un-American. Taking away constitutional rights is un-American. And I really think we would get further along in this discussion if we could get people to understand that there is no scientific argument for banning a woman's access to reproductive care. Every argument that limits a woman's access to care is grounded in religion. There is not a single argument to be made, not one, Darlene, not one, that doesn't come back to some theocratic desire to compel women to give up control of their lives and their bodies to some dude.
Subjugation, and that is why, don't ever fucking tell me you stand with me, prefacing it with a condition, oh, but I'm against abortion personally. Well, I'm not going to tell you what to do. You're no friend of mine. You ain't standing with me. Because you're right. That's exactly where it comes from. Because, again, as I brought up initially in our conversation, we were at 9 million over 20 years ago, genocide of women worldwide. Okay? I'm sure the number's much higher now. Probably 10, probably upwards of 11. It even surpasses, sadly. I mean, if you want to count women that were gassed in a concentration camp, I'm sure that includes that as well. Because guess what? You know, Hitler and the Nazis, they based it, they anchored it in Christianity as well. There was a religious element to it. How many more are going to be added to this now? When this court decision is finally released as, you know, the almighty word of the, you know, on high Supreme Court, you know, the son of a bitches in their freaking ivory tower up there.
They're yeah, and those rotten ass Ivy Leaguers.
I mean, that's one of the things that I was a little disappointed with Ketanji Brown Jackson. Kind of would have been nice to have someone that was not an Ivy Leaguer, but, you know, whatever.
Well,
I think she has.
But it's,
you know,
it's the Ivy, like it's the Ivy Leaguers, you know, who, it's the Ivy Leaguers who sign on to the Federalist Society, Darlene.
You're right. It's those Ivy Leaguers, you know.
It's the mostly white boys who get trailed along after by the. By the subservient white girls that create most of our Ivy League problem.
You know, and what if you can't have birth control? You know, that's another thing, because I come from a long line of, you know, people that when I was younger, it was okay. But I had a test done when I went to the gynecologist several years ago. I had 11 vials of blood taken out of me, 11 vials. I'm like, holy shit, what the fuck is this, you know? And what, you know, I still have the documentation, but basically I cannot have birth control. I cannot have birth control. Now, I'm seems like I'm pretty much menopausal at this point, thank goodness. But I can't have it because these 11 vials of blood showed that I have a propensity towards stroke, and blood clots. Okay. Now that's not, you know, that makes sense because I, you know, I had a cousin who was a few years older than me that died at 48, had a brain aneurysm. My maternal side of the family. My grandmother had a stroke. My mother has suffered from those TRIs, I think they're called TRIs, which are sort of like mini strokes. Okay.
Oh, TIAs, so transient ischemic attacks.
TIAs. That's it, TIAs. I can never remember that, TIAs. And she's been in a, she wants to call it a rehab center. So like, well, that has a different meaning to it. But she, you know, she's been in a nursing home since 2009, and they've been keeping her alive because they make sure she gets her medications on time, et cetera, et cetera. So it's all good. And she, you know, she has stimulation around her, and then she's not like home with my dad 24/7 driving her nuts. So I think their marriage has improved dramatically. So, and he visits, I mean, he's a devoted husband. So it's all good. But I can't have birth control. So 4.5 gay dudes that I, you know, who didn't get it right. Are you telling me I can't have sex for the rest of my life? Are you telling me that if I accident, if I'm doing everything I can to prevent pregnancy as a disabled woman, okay? Are you telling me, you know, that I have to basically fucking be a nun and go to the convent? Fuck you. Fuck you. You know? As somebody with muscular dystrophy, by the way, I don't want to pass that on to a child. I don't give a shit about all the gene therapy you can talk about.
No, I understand.
It's not going to cut it. And, you know, there are the nuances and the individual situations are so, we just don't know. You know, when we look at people that drive by or that we talk to on a daily basis or whatever, we don't know what they're contending with in their lives. I had no clue you were a trans woman. I had no clue. You know, and all of everything that went with that behind the scenes. Okay? 40% of women with FSHD, which nobody gives a shit about. Nobody knows what that is. We have a famous, his name is Morgan something. He's a professional golfer. He has FSH. Okay? We really don't have our famous person like a Michael J. Fox who more or less put Parkinson's disease on the map. You know,
they named amyotrophic lateral sclerosis after a baseball player.
ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, okay? Put it on the map, okay? Even Trump fucking did the ice challenge. That motherfucker did the ice challenge. At multiple sclerosis, that's a whole different, they've done a fantastic job at getting the word out about MS. And as a matter of fact, people I've known for decades still fuck it up and say, you have MS, right? I'm like, no, I have MD. I think, my eyes roll, you know, up into the back of my head. But we don't have very many people who had FSH. You know, I mean, my God, if we could get somebody like SDR to have actually been proven to have FSH, that would finally put it on the map. But 40% of women with facioscapulohumeral muscular dystrophy who bear children see a significant spurt in the progression of their disease that is irreversible. And when it comes to FSH,
probably okay, because of the stress that pregnancy puts on the body.
And then, correct. And then that could not come at a worse time. That could not come at a worse time because guess what? You now have a little one to care for. You have a baby to care for. How the fuck do you do it when
the short answer is Republicans don't fucking care.
They don't care. Now, if a woman chooses, there was a lovely woman in Australia because Australia's been doing some great things. They have a society down there for FSHers, and she was one of the 40%, and her disease progressed, and she is one strong, powerful woman because she's been able to manage weight. But like you know, I knew that if I were to get pregnant, I was going to have a massive spurt in the disease. I knew it. I just knew it intuitively. I said, I don't want to pass this on to a child, and I know it's going to be a struggle. What do? I sit on the couch with the baby, maybe breastfeed it, maybe nurse it. What, you know, give it a bottle of milk. What do I? How the hell do I get up off the couch? You know, if my husband is not around. Okay, I gotta set the baby somehow. Set the baby on the couch. Hope the hell it doesn't roll off the couch. Do a trick movement or find a way to transfer. Get up off the couch, and then how the fuck do I pick up this baby? I'm struggling right now with my dog. Okay, getting him up and trying to pick him up from the wheelchair because he's convalescent. Okay, it hasn't been easy, and hopefully he's going to improve. He's starting to regain weight. He's a 12.5-pound dog. He's down to 9.5 pounds. I'm totally hoping he'll recover. Picking him up, it's been hard. Are they going to turn around now and say that you have to have a child no matter what?
That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying.
If you miscarry, you know, which is, like you say, a horrible word. If you fuck up and miscarry, you know, because it's all your fault, you know, because woman, you know, because, you know, we can somehow shut this shit down if we get raped, right? You know, are we going to be thrown in prison now? Are we going to be, you know?
Well, that's next. I mean, look, if they're going if states are going to outlaw abortion, I mean, I don't know, let's use an imaginary state like Alabama. They're going to outlaw abortion altogether. Well, if you just say abortion shall be outlawed, one sentence, then spontaneous abortion goes with it. And that means that a woman who has a spontaneous abortion, which happens in 50% of all human pregnancies, becomes a criminal.
Right. So say she presents at the hospital.
It's already happened. I mean, what was it, Texas?
Alabama. Yeah. Yeah. She presents at the hospital. I something's wrong. I'm having pain. Blah, blah, blah. Boom. They can turn around and say, did you take anything? Did you do anything? Hey, look, when my dog had acute kidney failure a couple of weeks ago, they were questioning me on my dog. Are you sure he didn't give him ibuprofen? Are you sure he didn't drink something toxic? Are you sure he didn't lick up another animal's urine? Are you sure? I'm like, I don't know what the fuck happened here. I said, no. I said, nothing I gave this dog anything I gave this dog was prescribed by you, you know? Okay? That's just a dog. And I began questioning myself. Is my water not pure enough? Is something going on? You know, what happened?
Corn. I mean, just to answer your question, corn. So many dogs have adverse reactions to corn in dog food.
He don't get it. He don't get my okay. Alfie is a purist. He is 100% protein. 100% protein, and that's a problem because guess what is very very difficult on the kidneys? Protein. Okay. Yep. For the first time this morning, he runs past me at high speed. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? And he disappears around the corner by one of my side door to the garage. I'm like, oh, maybe he's pooping for the first time in 3 weeks. Nope. Dropped his urine. I've never seen so much urine coming out of this dog. First time in 12 years that he ever urinated.
Oh, poor little guy.
Yeah, it's been bad. It's been bad. And it's been difficult because of my disability. They think it was a medication they gave him for the Cushing's disease. But unfortunately, there's no proof because this medication has been tremendous. All vets swear by it. But the moment he got this particular medicine, all of a sudden his kidney failed. But because there's no proof, guess what? The pharmaceutical company won't pay for his medical bills. We're at $3,000 and counting. Oh. And I don't know how long he's going to survive. Yeah, I don't know how long he's going to survive, but everybody's trying to save this dog, including me. And I'm still showing out money because I have a vet tech stopping by because he's going to have to be on an IV for the rest of his life. I do it once a day. This doesn't take long, but I'm very squeamish about putting a needle into him. So I'm waiting for this numbing spray, that you can spray on him so he doesn't feel it going in. And I'd rather do that, you know, but this is a dog that won't take medications and everything else. It has to be liquid meds, everything. But there's no explanation for it. But it was fucking me up because I'm like, did I do something? And she goes, did you give him ibuprofen? I said, hey, listen. I said, look. I said, I asked you because he has a high pressure on one of his eyeballs. That's blind. He's blind in one eye. And I'm like, I asked you, should I give him Bayer aspirin to offset any kind of migraine he might be getting from the eye pressure? And you told me no.
Right.
I said, you said it could be counteractive. I said, so I've given him nothing. Nothing outside of what is prescribed. And this is a very stubborn dog. We're talking multiple vet techs could not pill him.
Could not pill him.
Oh, he's a little fuck. He'll hold the shit in his mouth. He'll hold the shit in his mouth for 5 minutes. And then when I'm not looking, he spits out the pill. He's brilliant. He's so brilliant. He will spit out the pill.
He's too smart for his own good.
He's too smart for his own good. So I've been begging the vet. I said, please give me liquid meds. Well, they're not as effective. I don't give a fuck. If I can't get the pill into him, he ain't getting any medications. Please give me, finally, when the vet tech who's been coming to the house, she's been a saint. I've been paying her $100 every couple of days. I've been paying her $100 to help me. She's been stopping in from the vet office, and she lives in my town. She's been a saint. So I've been throwing $100 to her way every couple of days. She, when she struggled and was like working up a sweat to get the meds into him, the pills, she finally advocated for me with the vet and said, hey, we really need to go to liquids. I know they're not as effective. Yeah, we're doing everything we can. But I'm being questioned on that. Can you imagine a woman who is miscarrying, who's losing her baby? And most women are devastated by this. The vast majority of people are devastated by this when this happens, and then they're going to be questioned. I felt fucked up, and like I felt, you know, if she wasn't mean about it, if that wasn't mean about it, sure, they were just trying to find answers. But I felt like I was second guessing myself. Can you imagine a woman going into that situation
and then
being questioned by the hospital?
Well, it's coming.
This is coming. This is PTSD. This country, voice, traumatic stress on its citizens. This is just another to our political system. Think about the 4 years we were with Trump. I felt like I was under traumatic stress on a daily basis. You know, it's like this country is so dysfunctional. They want to fuck you up. The PTSD that from COVID alone, it keeps us disoriented. It keeps us sick. It keeps schools being shot up by whatever.
Right. Well, let me share something with you, Darlene. It's a quote. The legal subordination of one sex to another is wrong in itself, and now one of the chief hindrances to human improvement, and that it ought to be replaced by a system of perfect equality, admitting no power and privilege on one side nor disability upon the other. Sounds pretty modern, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's John Stuart Mill writing on the subjection of women in 1869.
Brilliant.
European culture was ready to pillory him for that. And he was what was called a utilitarian. He believed the greatest happiness derived from the greatest utility. And so if you take half of the world population and say, you can only do one thing, stay at home, cook, and have babies, then you are doing great damage to the human cause generally. And oddly enough, he's one of the, and we say he, but the fact of the matter is his wife and his daughter contributed greatly to the essay,
And he is considered to be a foundational scholar in the history of feminism. But everything that this draft opinion is the exact antithesis of everything he was right about.
I would love to read that. I don't know if you can shoot me a quick link.
It's all over the internet. You can read it for free on the Subjection of Women. Okay. I remember reading it in college and going, wow, this is, you know, and that was like in 1983, and I'm going, this is pretty modern.
Yeah.
And they were ready to kill him. So, you know, it says something. By the way, we are not a total goose egg tonight. We got down to 120 to go on Bruce's Memorial Challenge, so we're down to 95 to go. Thank you, Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you so much for helping out this evening in this terrifying conversation. Jude,
terrifying. Well, I'll cover the 95. I'll cover the remaining 95 at this point. I can put a challenge out if you want. Again, I'm on still on the financial edge, but I try to do what I can.
Oh, darling, you've done so much. You've done so much.
So at this point, I'm still trying to, you know, get back up from wherever.
I get it.
But let me know if you can't get anybody to
well, if somebody would meet your 95. Because, you know, we're at $1,600, and this will get us, if somebody covers the 95, and that'll get us down to,
Well, let's do 100, and I'm going to do 100 challenge, and do it that way.
That's so helpful, Darlene, thank you. I heard from Jude.
I'd like to get back to those. Hey, Jude.
Jude said, it's time for each of us to commit in supporting those women close to our homes that will need medical intervention to save their lives in terminating what has developed within their bodies. It is devastating for a woman to terminate a pregnancy, as I personally have traveled on this path. Planned Parenthood is our connection, as they are the most astute and fearlessly committed of individuals that are on the line to be of service in a non-judgmental manner, focused on a woman's total health. Yes, Darlene, the Underground Railroad that was essential for our black family will now be focused on women of all walks and all skin colors. Pregnant people of all walks and all skin colors, because trans men get pregnant too. Prepare, please, to set into motion where each of us will give fully of ourselves in the service of others. Time for strength of being. Reach out and commit to one's local Planned Parenthood clinic. This is my focus. Feeling impotent is not who we are. Jude notes, I'm simply unable to call in, Robin, so I'm thankful for Lady B and Darlene and you in this on this serious day. Thank you, Jude. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, Jude.
Don't make it
sad. So, yeah.
And Jude just jumped in. Jude just jumped in, so $10 of your challenge has been met. 90
Thanks,
to go.
Thanks, Jude. You're the bomb. And I love the way she writes, and she walks the talk.
Yes, she does.
She walks the talk with women's standing.
And earlier this evening, I heard from our buddy Reverbo. Let us not for and I know what Reverbo's getting at. These same Republicans are often proponents of what's called the Great Replacement Theory. Are you familiar with that, Darlene? Or replacement theory? It was the background behind why the Nazi Trump supporters in Charlottesville, remember the very fine people, were chanting, Jews will not replace us. There is a paranoid theory, it's nothing more than bunk, that has tremendous coin in right-wing circles that says that, and, you know, you can find this same garbage in Germany of the 30s, that people are terrifyingly near to being replaced, white people. And so Reverbo says, let us not forget their kind is diminishing as minorities are increasing, so let's ban abortion and get our perverse numbers back up. panic time for the white Christians. If they don't force their women to reproduce, they will eventually be the minority. And Reverbo is not wrong.
He's not wrong, but the only...
And thank you to Eugene. Eugene just jumped in and met your challenge, so... we're down to $990.
Holy shit. That's good. Thank you, Eugene. Thank you, Jude. Holy crap. That's good. Boy, yeah. That's $100 well spent.
Yes, it is.
The only thing, and I agree with Reverbo, I do. I assumed that when you had said that replacement theory, I kind of, had a sense of that, but the problem is, quote unquote, and I use problem in quotes, is that you got people of color, they're also going to be forced to reproduce. So
they don't think these things through,
right? Wait a minute, Robin, maybe they have thought this through, because you know what? They're always ahead of our side. They're always ahead. They're ahead because they're so fucking devious. They're so fucking evil. They got to stop brown people from, brown and black people from having, more children. You know what I mean? Because, what does that mean? What could that possibly entail? Because they're screaming about, the border, immigrant, and pinning it all on Biden, the Biden administration. Yeah. Anything that we went after them for during the era of, Nitwit Nero, they're just regurgitating that same thing. And I'm rubber, you're glue, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I shudder to think what they have up their sleeve with that, because again, we've talked about, like you said, they want to do that to people who are trans. I shudder to think what they have up their sleeves. Lining people up against the wall and pow 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 pow.
Yeah, yeah.
There's only one gun with one bullet, but they have them all loaded.
Right, and understand, a Republican woman would light the ovens and turn on the showers for a woman like me.
Oh, God.
And it's a fact.
Again, it's dehumanizing people,
I mean, they've started with medicine. They've started with medicine for trans kids, puberty blockers. But, they will ban, once this opinion goes through, they will ban Plan B. They will ban RU486. And then they can ban anything. So it'll become, I don't know, I'll have to order my estrogen from somewhere offshore and be at hazard of being put in jail for ordering it from the dark web.
Yeah.
This shit's hard. Oh, yeah. This shit's hard on my mental health. And I'm not making it about me. It just is.
Well, yeah, like I said, that's their intention. We are tortured by our political system.
And that's why I'm beginning to think it is time for a modern day. I don't know what shape it would take, but somebody with the passion and commitment of a John Brown. Because God knows the other side had their John Browns when they were blowing away Dr. Tiller. We sat there and took it. Oh, the court system will deal with him.
Well, that's where... freedom of speech thing came in, right?
Free speech at the muzzle of a gun,
But it's only the kind of speech that the right wing approves of. And I could have Warren. I don't know which senator it was today when they were on the steps of the Capitol. I don't know if it was one of the women, like, could have sworn when she said right wing, she said white wing. I could have sworn I heard her say white wing. You know, kind of like a Maisie Hirono, you know, Amy Covid Barrett.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't. It would be appropriate coming from.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's other ladies that want to call in. I don't want to.
Well, you haven't. I mean, the Skype line's open, and I think people have been deeply engaged by your conversation. So, if anybody else wants to get in, you're mighty welcome.
Our conversation. Yeah, I did call an attorney, by the way. I was on the verge. So here we go, Robin. The next saga. I was on the verge of getting my driving test, and they nixed it. They deep sixed it. I had finished off all of my training hours, and now all of a sudden they're saying I need to have some kind of a harness because they had me do this shit called emergency braking. And what we discovered during this emergency braking, which should have been attempted last year, my wheelchair has a spring system to it, and the whole wheelchair, like, kind of rocks forward, and not slamming into the steering wheel, but my wrist gets my wrist gets bent really hard, and I'm like, holy fuck, as I hit the brake, and this was only at 30 miles an hour, so the problem is that 30 miles an hour, the seatbelt is not going to lock. It's not fast enough.
No.
And it wrecked my fucking wheelchair.
Oh, no.
So now they're like, yes, I have a heart attack. Oh, yeah, the chair did not sound right and everything else because the chair is under extreme stress. So, you have to see what it's like. It's like, well, holy Christ, only was it 30 miles an hour. I can't imagine emergency braking at 60. So now I have to have some sort of harness, but there's nothing out there that exists. They put the onus, they being the occupational therapist who I call Tweedledee, and the driving instructor who I wasted a good 6 months with, who is incompetent with the driver's training program. I call her Tweedledum. They have no clue, even though I've been asking for weeks and months for what about a posture support, what about a posture support. Now, this is before I got the really good steering assistive device, and I haven't noticed the deficit. I haven't noticed the deficit with posture or my shoulders or anything because I finally got the right steering assistive device. But they threw another wrench into the works. So I said, you know, I'm going to call an attorney. I'm basically under house arrest as far as I'm concerned. I can't go anywhere. You know, we're going on 1 year. 1 year. Okay. $84,000 van, and they keep throwing these. And I'm like, I got, you know, the new driving instructor was top-notch, an excellent. She came through Easter Seals, and she pointed out three mistakes I was making with my driving, a heavier, longer, larger vehicle that the state driving instructor never alerted me to, okay? And then other multiple mistakes. She taught me. This instructor was trained by AAA. It's no bullshit. She got me in the city within the third session. I was on the highways, everything, winding roads, everything. In no time at all. No time at all. So I called a lawyer, and I said, look, is there anything that is here? And he basically said no. You know, I said, look, I've been it's going on 4 years generally in the state. They have not kept me employed and employable. They're now denying me my test. They don't know what kind of harness I need. And I don't think he wanted to touch it. I don't think he wanted to touch it with a 10-foot pole. He didn't seem to really understand the state agencies very well. And he started asking me. Well, what do you think your claim is? I'm like, you're the fucking practicing attorney. Why the hell are you asking me? I said, well, negligence, discrimination, whatever. So there's one other attorney I'm going to try. He basically said, well, maybe you could try to, appeal the decision. I'm like, okay, I'll look online. I can't find an appeals process. He said, you know, your due process rights are probably being violated in terms of being able to drive, you know, life, liberty, and property, whatever, due process. So I'm looking. There's no appeals process through the driver's training program that I can see. Can't see an appeals process, a hearing process, nothing.
Then
they put the owner, huh?
Well, if there's no appeals process, there's no due process. If there's no due process, it's unfreaking constitutional, isn't it?
I would think so. There's one other attorney I'm going to try. I don't know if I'm in his geographic service area. I don't know if I might take too much because it's a legal services attorney, but he's had some success in terms of, calling out insurance companies that won't, like, help pay for wheelchairs and shit like that. So I'm going to try him next. The problem is they probably got me on this emergency braking thing, but they put the occupational therapist, Tweedledee, and the driving instructor, who's incompetent for the state, Tweedledum. They don't have a clue. They put all the onus on my wheelchair vendor, who's a friend of mine, and he's like, I have no idea what to do. He goes, we don't have anything like this. He goes, it's nothing that you can get into yourself. You'd have to have somebody help you. I said, well, I got to call my 86-year-old daddy to come and strap me into a fucking harness every time I want to get into this $84,000 van to drive?
Yeah, at this point in time, okay. You're talking about having a NASCAR pit crew.
Exactly. And it's like, and he's like, I don't know what to do. And we discussed various alternatives. So we're going to try some kind of a chest strap. You know, it's like, yeah, he goes, I think you would be able to get into this. So hopefully they'll prove it. But they don't know. These are the professionals.
You know what? I wonder if an outfit, don't shoot me down immediately, shoot me down later. But I wonder if a highfalutin outfit like Yale might have a disability rights clinic within its law school.
They might. That's actually a good point. They might.
Or even UConn.
Because sometimes you. Yeah, because sometimes you have to exhaust. I think there's something through Connecticut. You got to exhaust that first to go through them.
Exhaustion of administrative remedies?
Right. And there was something, I think, I don't know if it's human rights and opportunities or something like that in Connecticut that I have to look at. And there could be disability rights organizations nationally. So that may be the one option. I think what's vital, and, you know, and I told this attorney this, you know, and he turned out to be a dud. But, you know, I said, look, I said, anybody that's enterprising and really wants to look into this, there could be a class action. Because basically this woman, this incompetent driving instructor that I wasted 6 months with, who did not teach me how to drive the van, basically is denying a lot of people their right to drive. You know, well, not that there's a right, but she's denying it. She's saying they're not competent. They can't drive. When in reality, it's her poor, it's her inability to train them, because the excellent instructor who helped me said, I don't know what this woman is talking about, because the people that I've worked with that she basically said can't drive. She goes, I've got them on the highways. I've got them in the city. I've got them. They're doing great.
You know what? You make me wonder something, Darlene, yeah. And I'm going to bring Tracy on in a second because she just called in.
Oh, good. Hey, Tracy.
Stand by.
Go ahead.
I just want to mention this before I bring Tracy on. You remind me of something in the way you're describing this horrible instructor. You remind me of something that I've run across in trans groups. There are stealth therapists out there who will try to steer people away from transition because they're actually hostile toward us. But they will pretend to be, you know, neutral gender counselors. And what they are actually is god-awful gatekeepers. It sounds like you may have run across the disability version of one of those.
It could be. She is a very, okay, She's a very nice person. She's a very nice person. She's a lesbian. So she's part of the LGBTQIA+ community. Not that gives her a pass in any manner, way, shape, or form. I think it's about job security for her. And I also think that that's where the issue is stemming with Easter Seals, because they just got the big contract with the state of Connecticut to take on people like me, because that one instructor on the DTP side is very, very busy. The longer she can keep people in the program, the longer she has job security.
Well, but not just that. She's also probably got some she could be frightened of liability issues.
Oh, they're scared shitless of liability issues. Okay, in terms of, absolutely. Because, they keep saying, well, we want Darlene to be safe. Well, not if you're giving me the wrong assistive devices that's injuring me. You're also supposed to do no harm. That ship sailed. The Titanic sailed on that one too, Robin. And I have no recourse. What they need is, and again, I got very, very fortunate, because the one particular instructor for teaching me how to drive the van, she learned through AAA. She teaches young kids how to get their licenses. She's excellent. She taught me how to drive the fucking van. She does not, because it's bigger, heavier, and longer. She said, you need to approach your stops this way. You need to look at you need to use your right mirror, your outside mirror, more than you do. You need to do this, this, and this. And she came up with really good assessments. And she basically took me back to when I need to basically review the DMV manual, the Department of Motor Vehicles manual, because when you become an experienced driver, you assimilate everything. You forget the basics that you learned as a kid at 16 to get your license initially. Okay, so she took me back to that, but she's not cross-trained as a physical therapist or an occupational therapist. The occupational therapist at Easterfield is not cross-trained as a driving instructor. That's the big problem. It's really hard to find somebody that can do both. So that's where their conundrum is. But again, there's been far too many delays, and I drank the Kool-Aid from the incompetent driver's training program instructor that these things take a long time. These things take a long time. Well, hell yeah, they're going to take a long time if you're not properly teaching me how to drive, and if you are not competent in terms of the physical therapy and occupational therapy aspects of driving. It's going to take a long time.
Well, God, it sounds like their goal is to make it possible for you to drive yourself to the nursing home when you're 90.
Exactly. I can't even, my computer glasses, okay, which I desperately need for work, they fucking imploded for the third time. These glasses broke. Okay? I can't see my fucking computer. I have to sit like a mile away from it. No, I see it with my progressive lenses. I can't get to the doctor. I had to use I had to beg the bus service to let me go visit my dog, Alfie, when he was at the vet clinic on IVs for like 6-7 days. I said, I got to find a way to get there. And they said, we can't do that. That's not a medical appointment. I said, please, I'm not transporting any animal. I beg of you, please, please let me go see my dog. He needs to see me, please. And they gave in. They thankfully, because no one else needed the bus that afternoon, they let me go. Okay, I got an $84,000 van in my fucking garage. I am not considered by the state of Connecticut to have a personal life. It's only about employment, keeping me employed and employable, which they are not doing. But I can't have a personal life. I can't go and get my glasses fixed. I can't go and help my dog or even put it to sleep, be there for it. I can't do any of those. I'm not allowed to have a personal life. To me, I think that's discrimination right there. That's how the policies and the laws are set up. It's to fail. So anyway, I could go on and on, but let's bring Tracy on.
Yeah, let's bring Tracy on. Hey, please. Tracy, how are you, dear?
I don't know.
Hey, Tracy.
Hey,
Tracy, I have a question.
Okay.
Oh.
What's the question?
I have a question for you real quick about your event on May 20th. I did sign up for the virtual, but I saw the other thing. I'm not sure. Am I supposed to re-sign, like RSVP again? I'm a little confused. I'm not going to physically be there, but I do want to be there for the preview or the virtual aspect. Yeah, do I need to do something more?
As soon as I haven't gotten the, well, actually, I lie. I haven't checked. But I'm going if the link isn't on the commencement page yet, I'm going to email the guy who's in charge of commencement and ask when the link is going up so I can send it out on a, you know, wholly separate, you know, email blast like, yo, here it is, so you can watch the commencement in the comfort of your own home. Via, you know, whatever. I have no idea, but I do know it will be streamed. That I do know.
Okay, good. So because I mean, I did RSVP when you sent out the initial link.
Right.
When you know a while back, and then I saw the other one and I got confused about it. But I mean, I wish I could physically be there. I would love to be there for your party. But obviously, I'm across the country, and it ain't happening because I can't even drive. I can't even drive in my own driveway. It's all I can't even drive in my own driveway.
Yeah.
So I do want to be there. The only thing is, it's my mother's birthday. So I, yeah.
No,
I may break to.
Go, Tracy.
I feel like right now I was talking to you can always tell when the professors are just like tired and it is like, you know what? I don't give a fuck anymore. I'm just my teacher, Dr. Watson, is at that point. He's like, when he started dropping F bombs in class, I'm like, oh.
That's his name, Dr. Watson.
Dr. Watkins.
Watkins. Okay, got it.
No. It is. It's Watson. It is. And cool.
Reaching for my meerschaum pipe now.
His new sign on.
TWAT.
Twat. No, we just caught it earlier this semester. Because, see, I've had him last semester, but the class is online, so I didn't see him sign on to Canvas. So, yeah, it's TWAT, whatever the numbers are. I'm like, oh, that's unfortunate. Like, how do you think I feel? But he is beyond cool. But I guess this, what we're, you know, I was listening to you guys about this whole thing, and like he was talking about Robin about the replacement thing, well, and about other, you know, races, but you know, there's a whole group of people who look like me who feel that abortion is a genocidal plot against black people, and that the woman who founded Planned Parenthood, that was her thing. Now, it is true.
Oh, Margaret Sanger is so problematic. But of course, when you talk about people who look like you, you're talking about Velveeta King.
I'm not even, well, no. Actually, there's a brother, because I get Medium. I have a subscription to Medium, and I love the articles. And I read this brother, I followed him, so I keep, you know, so when he writes a story, I get it automatically. But some of his stuff kind of bothers me. So it started the other day when he went off on Lizzo, saying that, you know, she's the pawn of the white media because, you know, about body positivity for large black women, because you're just, you know, you should be losing weight. You know, it's just a plot to kill off black people, or if you're not taking, I just like, you okay? And so then when I read the story today that he wrote, I was looking for it and I found it. What the white media won't tell you about abortion, and that's, you know, like you said about old girl, and she is problematic, you know, no lie.
Lizzo is a beautiful woman. She's beautiful. And Lizzo is a beautiful woman. She's a really good-looking lady. And she just gets herself out there and it doesn't, you know, she's got a boyfriend now, which is great. And if you think about it, and by the way, she's a beautiful woman. She's incredibly talented. The playing the flute like she does, I'm just so blown away. She's stunning. And I actually watch her on TikTok. I think she's hilarious. She's got a good sense of humor, all of that. She's a full package. I'm so glad she's got a bow in her life. One of the things that, and by the way, Tracy, the photos you posted of you and your son to celebrate his birthday, you know, you're a good-looking, damn good-looking woman, too. Okay, so don't sell yourself short. I know you talk about, you know, your hair loss and stuff like that. But those were just wonderful photos. And the whole thing with the Met Gala event, and I think it's kind of gross that the Kardashian woman there wound up wearing Marilyn Monroe's dress. They say Marilyn Monroe had to be sewn into was the one she was wearing when she sang Happy Birthday to President John F. Kennedy. But talking about weight, Kim Kardashian, who has never struck me as being a heavy set woman at all, she's just extremely curvy. She said she had to lose 16 pounds in 3 weeks in order to fit into that $5 million dress. And back in the day, Marilyn Monroe was considered to be kind of on the buxom or kind of, I don't want to say hefty side, but she was considered to be more, you know, full-figured, I guess. And the fact that somebody...
She was classically beautiful for that era. Because that's also the era of Jane Mansfield, Jane Russell.
Yeah, but she was considered more kind of the curvy, but like heavier. But the fact that this Kim Kardashian had to lose 16 pounds, and I was, because when I was looking, because I like looking at that stuff. I like looking at what they're wearing and see what they do for that. And my iPad always crashes because there's so many goddamn photos. But when I looked at her, she looks like she's almost emaciated, Kim Kardashian. She had to drop 16 pounds in 3 weeks in order to fit into that thing. I don't know if I'd prefer her to be in it, but whatever. You know, because it is kind of a historic dress in a sense. But when we think about weight, you know, how it's changed over the decades, it's just, to me, it's kind of like a ambiguous thing, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, I just wanted to mention that. because you mentioned Lizzo, and I was just thinking about the Met Gala.
Did I get you back, Tracy?
Yes.
Tracy?
That was actually my fault. Jan called, and I thought I put you guys on hold. But I hung up.
Happens.
Oh, okay.
It happens.
Hey, Tracy,
I hung up on Ferg three times in the space of 5 minutes the other day. So, you know.
Oh. Tracy, what time is your commencement, California time? Like, what time is it? May 20th.
11 o'clock your time.
So it's 11 a.m. my time.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so then that's...
That's early.
That's 8 a.m. your time. That's early for you.
I actually have to be at school at 6:30 a.m. on the
25th. Whoa.
I mean, it's that early. Yeah. Actually, by 6:30 in the morning during the week, typically, I'm already at my first pickup, typically. So 6:30 is just...
I know.
But I'm actually glad that at first I was really pissed. I'm like, 8 o'clock in the morning, what the hell? But it's actually because I went to a event on Saturday It was called a NAP. It was New Alumni Party. And so, it's like the alumni association that I wanted to meet with. I almost left because they weren't there on time, but I'm like, really, TP time, y'all? Seriously? But the black alumni president, I met him and we had a really nice talk. So I'm like, okay. So I'm looking forward to, I got my CSUN alum, alumni 2022 shirt. I got my CSUN alum jacket, alumni jacket. So it's just a matter at this point of finishing up all my work. With the snow going, I'm just so damn tired, and I'm just trying to breathe. And it was so funny because, like I said, I came to the realization that why am I killing myself to try to get a 4.0? It's not that I don't care, but I already got into grad school. I'm good. My grades were my acceptance to grad school was based on all my other grades, not on my spring 22 grades. So it's like,
I don't know how you do it, Tracy.
I mean, at this point, I just want to be done. I am a step away from just saying, okay, like I said, I care because I have to care, but I'm at that point where I just want it all to be over with.
If you were to get pregnant right now, what would that do to you?
Say that one more time.
If you were to get pregnant right now with everything you're doing,
yeah.
If you were to get pregnant right now.
Am I in my program right now?
No. She's asking, if you were to get pregnant right now, what would that do to your life?
Well, actually, gynecological exam, and I could still have kids. I could still get pregnant. Fortunately for me, I'm living and married to a woman. So let's just say, if I came up pregnant, it'd be a problem.
Be a star in the East and some wise guys on your porch with presents.
Right. It's pretty much, because it's like the explanation that I would have to give Jan is like, excuse me, what? So.
It's not like Jewish people haven't had that story told them before. No, really, right. God showed up.
Right. Well, it's not like, okay. So, like, for example, when I got pregnant with Alex, prime example of fertile myrtle or topsoil, because that's what they were calling me, because I was on the pill using a sponge. His father was using a condom, and guess what?
And that's, you mean to say you didn't name him Houdini?
I should have. But the crazy part is, it's like, I'm like, wait a minute. So that's why when I went to the doctor, because I was having horrible migraine headaches. I've never had a migraine headache before in my life. My doctor's like, are you pregnant? And I said, no. There's no way I'm pregnant. He's like, well, I'm going to give you a pregnancy test anyway because this medication that I was that he was going to prescribe was could be detrimental to a fetus. And I said, sure, why not? I don't care. It's not like it's going to turn out positive. And he's like, well, congratulations, Miss Porter.
You see that shit?
This guy, okay, so this is the you know, the crazy that is people who drive in L.A. So there's a, I'm waiting for a red light to go, turn green, and they're, you know, opposing traffic is as well. So this guy who felt as though he didn't have to wait, he gets in the left-hand turn lane and goes through the red light. Fortunately, nobody that was in, you know, facing my direction was in the left turn lane because the left turn lane for my side had a green arrow. But fortunately, nobody was turning. But this fool decided, I don't have to wait. So I'm going to go around all the traffic, get in the left turn lane, and go straight, even on the red light. This is the kind of stuff that I have to, you know, that I have to watch out for every single day. But anyway, so no, if I got pregnant right now, actually, Dad would be happy, but that's not, no, I would be fucking miserable. I just a thought of getting pregnant at my age, no thank you, no way, no how, not going to happen. But then again, if I, you know, something like that were to happen, seriously, some explaining to do. I live in California. And like, you know, Donnie pointed out, Gavin Newsom's like, we're just going to put this shit in the state of California Constitution. And just call it, and it's a wrap. See you in the morning. Because this is, it's just, I, again, it's not like I feel, I mean, I'm not, oh my God, let's everybody have an abortion, you know. That's not how... I am not advocating, because having an abortion is, and making the decision to have an abortion is the hardest decision any woman would have to make, myself included. Because I had one. But I knew, I did it, you know, because it's like I was 19, 20 years old. There's just no way that I was ready to have a child. Hey, I wasn't ready to have Alex, and truth be told, had my mother not found out that I was pregnant, and my whole church knew, so I was basically shamed. See, that's the thing. I was shamed into having Alex. Now, all you guys know how much I love my son. I could not imagine my life without my son. How for never, at 21 years old, I was not wanting to have a child. I was the oldest of five. I don't like, did not like children. I was the oldest of five. And I was responsible for all my siblings. I did not want any kids. Did not. And like I said, had my mom not found out and I got shamed into, you know, going through a pregnancy because, you know, church and black people and all this other shit. You know, and like I said again, I could not imagine my life without my son. He is everything to me. But, you know, my choice was effectively taken away because of religion. And I live in California, so, I mean, and I was grown. I wasn't even living with my mother at the time. That part.
Well, y'all might be interested to know that, because here's one to make you bark at the moon. According to one of the stupidest men on the internet, a guy named Mike Cernovich, some of you are familiar with him, He said,
there's too many stupid to try to keep up with.
I know. He said, leaking a draft SCOTUS ruling is worse than January 6th. The court was the one institution where conservatives and liberals lived in peace and trust.
This is because he thinks it was leaked by a lefty.
He will, of course, retract every word he said once it comes out that this was actually done by some wild-eyed, toxic Ivy League jurisprudential maniac. And then Mike Lee, constitutional scholar, the senior senator from Utah, he said, to violate an understanding that is held for the entire modern history of the court, seeking to place outside political pressure on the court and the justices themselves is dangerous, despicable, and damaging. As long as it was a liberal who did it. They will not condemn when we find out that this was done by somebody who thinks that Samuel Alito is a goddamn leading light of the law. Worse than January 6th.
Wait, they said that was worse than January 6th?
The leak was worse than January 6th, yes.
Wow.
Maybe he's right. Well, the leak isn't, but, you know, once the goddamn thing goes into effect, the women who will die, there will be more pregnant people die as a result of this ruling than died on January 6th. So maybe he has a point. God, these people.
I'm safe here in California. Women in California are safe for now. I mean, who's to say we have had Republican governors.
Same here. Well, I'm safe here in Connecticut. Thanks. We've had Republican governors in
Michigan. I'm talking, you know, Duke Majian and Pete Wilson. So it is entirely possible. Hopefully, you know, it won't happen. But at this point, I can't even, you know, I can't even say with all certainty that it never will. So I am keenly aware. Oh, excuse me, sir. Keenly aware of my privilege, of being an older woman. Yes, I could get pregnant. I actually literally, because my gynecologist said, oh, you know, you have the uterus of a 20-year-old. I said, well, I got the body of almost 60-year-old, but I could give a fuck about what my uterus is saying.
My uterus needs to shut up.
My uterus needs to shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up, uterus. I could care. I could not care less.
Shut the fuck up, Winnie.
You know, if there's some great, you know, miraculous, you know, conception that I actually got pregnant, I can have something. I can, you know, I can have it, in, for lack of a better word, taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Simple. You know, without, you know, I, even though I have insurance, but if I didn't, it still wouldn't be a problem. Not in the state of California. Because we have California Care. Or something, something. But basically, pretty much everybody in the state of California has access to either free or low-cost medical insurance. Everybody. And they even made it even more even more accessible because of COVID. So, you know, y'all, people could talk all this shit they want to talk about California. Fuck y'all. I'm not leaving.
There will be pockets of reproductive freedom. California, Washington, Oregon, of course. Connecticut, Rhode Island, Vermont, Massachusetts, New York, New Jersey, maybe Pennsylvania, Maryland. But I tell you what, the women's reproductive health centers are going to be mighty busy dealing with Uncle Daddy's little problem from Mississippi.
You know, like I said, I cannot, as a black woman, as a queer woman, take my privilege, because there's those rare occasions that I actually have privilege. They don't come often. But like, you know, my privilege of becoming my actual self, my authentic self, actually, and not having to worry about losing my job, losing my home, none of that, because of how old I was when I realized of who I was, you know, about my in true sexuality. I go through what so many black people go through in my community when they're young and they're still living under their parents' roofs, and to get thrown out, all in the name of Jesus. I mean, yes, I lost friends. My mother had a shit fit. She actually said, that's a white thing, and Jan must have turned you out. And I'm like, this is coming from an educated woman. My mother is a fucking not retired nurse. And I'm like, did you really just say that? You know, did the Jesus just really bubble, you know, pickle your brain? What the fuck?
Well, you know, there are things that are going to have to be taken into account once this thing takes effect. And there are things that Republican legislatures will have to move rapidly to make sure can't be counted, because among other things, we're going to have to, the suicides by pregnant people in places like Alabama and Mississippi and West Virginia are going to skyrocket. And then there's the number, of pregnant people who will die in unsafe abortions. That's going to have to be counted. And it's all going to be, and the Republicans will have to try. And frankly, COVID gave them an opportunity to perfect their technique. They will have to try to bury these numbers.
Oh, gosh. Oh,
good. I mean, you remember what Monkey Up DeSantis did in Florida? Trying to suppress the COVID deaths?
Oh, yeah.
Happened here in West Virginia with Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice?
Well, Cuomo did it too in New York. And the nursing homes, though.
Yeah, and the difference is Cuomo's not in office anymore. Monkey Up DeSantis thinks he's going to be fucking president.
Oh, Jesus. And in this country, that's a likely possibility.
Yeah, it is. Well, I'll tell you what, it's time for me to get out of here.
This has been a great conversation. Thank you.
It has been.
Thank you.
And I don't...
Could this be a woman on the, a kind of a woman on the front porch on Titanic or whatever?
this was ladies on the Lido deck of the Titanic Tuesday.
I'm glad Jude and Lady D and Tracy joined in. Tracy, it's great to talk to you and hear from you. And I'm looking forward to May 20th.
May 21st.
Just breathe.
Wait a minute.
I'm incredibly exhausted because I worked last night, and Jan called me, and I said, I can't cook. I can't do anything. So she's like, don't worry about it. Because I ate late, and I don't feel good anyway. So I'm basically going to go home, shower, and go to bed. And
I can't blame you. It's been a long day.
Even if I don't go to sleep, just not think about nothing right now. Just rest. And what'll probably happen is I'll wake up in the middle of the night, which is fine, and do homework. But right now, I can't think. I'm too tired. I can't blame it's been a long day. To make it home. And after that, it's a fucking wrap. So on that note, I'm out, people. Y'all have a good night on the East Coast at 8 o'clock your time. I'm thanking God that it's only 5 o'clock my time. So on that, I am out. Good night.
So Tracy, take care, dear.
I need to say good night.
Right.
Love you, Tracy.
Good night.
Love you guys, too. Good night.
And
all right,
darling,
Robin,
take care of yourself.
I guess that leaves me. Thank you. Thank you for entertaining me for this.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how. This is. I mean, the issues like this are hard because they overrule my reason. They make me very angry.
They do. I mean, the last time I was this, I get worked up. But the last time I was really worked up like this was Helsinki. And we know what Helsinki means, you know, it's just, and it brings up all of that. And we could have gone on and on about how women and children are really the true casualties of war, like we're seeing in Ukraine and what the Russians are doing to Ukrainian women and their children. And it's just, you know, we could go on and on. About.
I know. Well, it's like something Joy Ann Arbor sent along a little earlier. She has by now, of course, as many of us have, read the entire nauseating, vomitous effluvium of Sammy Bad Breath. And she picked up on a phrase in the opinion, Darlene. The words deeply rooted in history is code for you're next. Birth control, same-sex marriage, same-sex sexual relations, interracial marriage, women's suffrage. And she's absolutely not wrong. She is absolutely correct. And it's there.
She's done balls accurate.
Yeah. Historic, deeply rooted in history. So was slavery, you fuckwit.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's one of the things. I think, you know, frankly, I think... There needs to be some means by which people can look at Sammy Alito and say, you toxic male fuckwit. You toxic white male piece of shit.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I feel like they cannot be permitted to get away with this unscathed. And I'm putting that really diplomatically and politely. You know, really... This is autocracy. This is theocracy. This is their wet dream. They can taste it. They can taste it. Oh, geez. I don't want to go there like Scott does.
I know.
So,
I
yeah.
Know.
Geez. All right. Well, thank you. I'm gonna bow out. Let's sign off. Thank you, my friend. And I hope today.
Thank you, and thank you for the help. That makes tomorrow a little less terrifying. Maybe we'll crawl out of this hole yet. Thank you, Darlene. Have a good evening.
We will. All right, dear. Bye.
Bye. And so we come to the end of this Titanic Tuesday. Holy smokes! Thanks to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to all of our a la carte contributors. Thanks for getting us down into the $900 territory. Thanks for meeting Bruce's Memorial Challenge. That's huge because, of course, we're still dealing with a deficit from last month. Thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks, thanks, Sparky. And, hey, there was a pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Steve, from Georgistan. Brother Bishop Steve, thanks. Glad to see you, Steve. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new, fresh Malloy, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is, of course, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. A late-breaking thank you to Cecilia. Thank you. We are down now to 970. Thank you. Thank you to Ralphs for kicking in a little extra on top of her portion of Bruce's challenge. Thank you. So, yeah, 970, so 1270 tomorrow. Thank you, Cecilia. Thanks. As I said, Cold River Mountain Watch, now a union shop, and proudly so. Please stay safe. Get your second booster. I will at some point. Oy. I got to get it done. Just been so damn busy. Maybe after May 10th. Thank you, all of you who sat and listened to this dialogue this evening. I hope it helped you some. It was helpful to me. Anyway, get your boosters. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Maintain your social distance. And if some blithering idiot comes towards you saying, leaking that opinion was worse than January 6th. Ignore that person like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.